This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Tuesday. And well, there are some things happening out there. Some fairly decent sized things. Trump is over there in Saudi Arabia. It's saying a lot of good things. So there's that. We are going to, I'm giving you a heads up right now, right out of the gates. We are about to have a long talk about this South African refugee. Should I call it a controversy? It's not really one, but it's not really going to be about the South Africans or what. It's going to be about the United States of America, the American left, tribalism, human nature. And so it's going to take a long time as we walk through that and how we got to where we are as a country. Joe Biden continues to be lied about by all the same people who were lying about him. David Hogg is out at the DNC. Told you that was coming. Some dude fought a kangaroo. The House GOP is lying to us. All that and so much more coming up on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, it's all over the news. You cannot escape it. The Afrikaners. Now, let's first get this out of the way. Well, it's 60 people from South Africa. 60 white families from South Africa. Afrikaners is what they're known as. So when I refer to Afrikaners over the next hour as many times as I do, that's what I'm talking about. So that's where we're going. Let's first do a little bit of a historical rewind, because this is going to be about modern America and the left and you and me and tribalism. It's going to be about a bunch of things, but I thought maybe a little brief history to open up the show would be helpful. This is as general 30,000-foot view history as you can get, but I realize a lot of people don't get this in school anymore, so here it is. Think about your spice cupboard. We've had this talk before. You have a cupboard or a drawer where you keep your spices. There's your nutmeg and your cinnamon and that's part of living in the modern world. All right, we have the same thing. Ours is a cupboard. Ob gets mad when I take things out and don't put them back with the label facing out, but that's another story entirely. Everybody has one, okay? Well, that alone should give you some perspective on how good your life is, how comfortable your life is. Because kings and queens of old, they would have sent armies for your spice drawer. Do you realize that? It's kind of cool when you think about it. But they would have sent armies to your spice drawer. Food. People want different spices on food. Spices come from different places. You don't grow it all in one spot. So let's talk about Europe. Europe, we'll make it about Britain for now, but it's really all of Europe. Europe started to discover, courtesy of the Silk Road from China and other things, that there were new different spices and other products like silk from the Far East. When I say Far East, we're going to talk India, China, Spice Islands, Philippines, all these places. There are goods over there the Europeans want. And you're always trying to find the fastest, safest, most efficient, most cost-efficient way to get those things you want, including the spices, into your area so you can use them. But that land, there's a lot of it. When's the last time you actually looked at a map? You know how much I'm a nerd about maps. Maybe if you're not driving, maybe you should pull one up on your phone right now, or pull out a globe if you happen to have one, and just go ahead and look. Europe to India without a car or a plane. You're on horseback if you're lucky. That's quite a ways, isn't it? They were looking for ways to get more imports in, and they were trying to figure out how to do it by ship, because that's the way you can do it with more quantity. And if you do it right, it can be more cost efficient. Well, that's a difficult thing. So they started to do this thing where they were poking around Africa. We have all these ships. There's this huge continent. What if we found a way to sail around Africa and get over to India? I'm going to use India, but it was more than just India. What if we sailed from Europe around the southern tip of Africa and over to India? Now, let's think about that for a moment, because we tend to, we put everything in our modern view, but we're talking the age of sailing ships here. That is quite a journey. And contrary to popular belief, you know, we all think about Christopher Columbus sailing the ocean blue, but even today, a lot of ships don't go out into the middle of the ocean. Even when they're traversing the planet, they tend to not that often go out in the middle of the ocean. They tend to stay as close to shores as humanly possible. And that's today, when you have navigation and power and all kinds of things. In the age of sailing ships, you better be fairly close to the shore. It's part of what made what Columbus did and Magellan and these guys so brave. Anyway, so they start making their way around Africa and trying to make their way around Africa. Well, here's what happens. You have to make stops. It's inevitable. Either you run out of food, or you run out of water, or there's storm damage, or it could be a variety of disease. Anything could pop up, but you need to get off the water and on to dry land. This created large amounts of European migration to the African continent, where they would set up what essentially amount to gas stations. Now, I'm going to use, that's the most dumbed down possible way I can explain it, but let's say there's a point in Africa that's a good distance from Europe. It's a constant stopping point. Ships seem to run out of water a lot around this area, something like that. Well, eventually, capitalism, free markets being what they are, people are going to figure out, well, wait a minute. Instead of getting on this stupid ship, why don't I just move to Africa? Open up a little shop. I'll sell water to the ships. They'll make a fortune. Eventually, little colonies began setting up around Africa, especially around the African coast. This was to facilitate the trade that went to and fro Europe to the Spice Islands. You with me so far? Again, I know it's very dumbed down, and the people who know history, this is nothing new to you, but a lot of people don't know this stuff. Now, South Africa. South Africa was obviously part of this, because it's kind of the most important part. It's the tip. That's the area you got to get around. Once you're around a tip, then you're on to India. Same thing happened in South Africa. There's all kinds of South African history I'm not going to go into here, but if you would like some background, I can kind of point you in the right direction. We've actually talked about it once on the show. The Boer War, B-O-E-R. It's actually the second Boer War, but if you just look up the Boer War, get a book on the Boer War, maybe go back, find the old podcast when I talked about the Boer War. The Boer War was a thing. And the thing is simply this. African people, they were tribal. We're talking older times. All tribal peoples. Well, they were always fighting with each other. And they're obviously going to fight with the new tribe that happens to be moving in and asserting their power. So that's all the background I'm giving you, because we're going to move on and talk about modern America and other things. I just wanted to give you a heads up. There's a lot of background when it comes to Africa, colonization. And of course, from there, European powers figured out that Africa is rich in slaves, in resources, and everything else. And they moved in and really conquered most of the place. And it's really, to be honest, it's still all screwed up to this day. But that's the background of it. But South Africa in particular, they've seen, well, a little window. What they've given us is a little window into what could happen, what could be for us. And I mean that in this way. They, you know how occasionally there'll be some black communist on television and they'll be ranting about how they need reparations. You know, you see that occasionally and you kind of roll your eyes or maybe you get mad for a second, but then you laugh it off and it just kind of rolls off your back. Well, in South Africa, I want you picture that person, whoever that person is. Picture legions of them taking over power, taking over the government. And just like ours who say that, theirs weren't kidding at all. And now that's going to lead us to reparations and revenge and tribalism and where we are as a country and why you're seeing the reaction you're seeing to all that. Before we get to any of that, let me talk to you about making your meat as perfect as my meat is. You see, I don't ever screw up a steak anymore. When I make beer can chicken, I nail it every single time. Brisket, I've already told you about. Every single time I get it right. It's not that complicated. You cook to temperature. You cook to temperature. And as all my pit boss friends have lectured me time and time again, stop checking on it. If you're looking, you're not cooking. Well, that creates quite a problem, doesn't it? Because, well, how am I supposed to check the temperature? Well, here's how. You get an IQ sense from Chef IQ. It's a wireless cooking thermometer. You put it in the meat. You leave it in the meat. It can handle up to 1,000 degrees. So don't worry about it. You're not gonna overheat it. Your phone will then tell you when your meat is done. You put the desired temperature in your phone, and your phone just lets you know, up, brisket's done. Perfect every time. Every time, without exception. You want to save 15% on one? ChefIQ.com, code Jesse. ChefIQ.com, code Jesse. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Tuesday, talking about all kinds of spicy things tonight. Tribalism, the American left, the African left, how everything devolves into where we're at now, because this is about the Afrikaners, the 60 of them Trump brought in. So I already said South Africa, what they have is what a lot of people on the American left want. You see, they took over. Now, the white people of South Africa are an extreme minority. The country's 80% black. And they took power, and they're all leftists. They are pretty openly leftists. And I hope you didn't think the left, the American left, or any leftists, I hope you didn't think they were kidding when they were talking about reparations. And I hope you didn't actually think they meant reparations. What they mean is revenge. Revenge. Revenge, especially between tribes, and we're all in tribes. We'll get to that in a little bit. Revenge between tribes is as old as man itself. And there is this disgusting leftist element down there has taken power, and they have proceeded to encourage their people to rape and slaughter the white people of South Africa. This takes place in the urban areas. It routinely takes place on the farms, the more rural farms, and it's just about the scariest thing you can imagine. There have been many documentaries made about it. You can go read about it. There will be the 60-some-year-old farming couple who will simply wake up to find 10 men with machetes in their home, and they don't die well. Again, I want to let you know this is encouraged openly in South Africa. This is Julius Malema. He's the leader of the South African Economic Freedom Fighters. I want you to listen to him.
I don't know what's going to happen in the future. I'm saying to you, we have not called for the killing of white people, at least for now. I can't guarantee the future. Especially if things are going the way they are, there will be a revolution in this country, I can tell you now.
Look, we might have to kill all the white people. I'm not saying we're not. Maybe we're not yet, but okay, so that's where it is. Now, let's set aside South Africa, because you don't care that much about it, and neither do I. And to be honest, 60 refugees from South Africa. It's nothing that's going to blow you away. Okay, so maybe you hate it. To be honest, I'm not sure that I love it. I think we're full. I think we're way full. Let's start sending more out. But whatever, I don't hate it either. It's 60 people. Who cares? Not worried about it. Let's talk about the reaction to it here, because this is about the American left, the American communist, and tribalism and human nature, and something we have to understand. Maybe you've been turning on the television for the last 24 hours, and maybe you've been hearing some absolutely barbaric things like this.
The people who are native to that land deserve their rightful land back. That is not what the Afrikaners actually want to have happen, which are the white Africans. And so who are not originally from Africa, who colonized South Africa also. And so,
okay, we'll come back to that in a little bit. Now let's talk about tribalism and human nature and how communism abuses it. First, we are all tribal. All of us are tribal in different ways, but it's a very human nature thing to want to live, work, and worship around people you identify with. And it doesn't have to be skin color. I want to point that out. I'm going to say all kinds of things that offend you tonight. Remember two things. One, I don't care if I offend you. And two, if I make some general statement that doesn't apply to you, don't email me and say, that's not me. I don't give a crap. I'm making a general statement. All right? So we're all tribal. It doesn't have to be about skin color. I'm not saying if you're white, you want to live around white people, or if you're black, you want to live around black people. It can be religious. Jews living around Jews, Christians living around Christians, Muslims. It can be anything. But we are all, by nature, tribal. And here's the thing about being tribal. You can become tribal as a response to someone else being tribal. I'll put it to you this way. Let's say you're in high school. Let's say a group of 20 kids decide to start wearing red t-shirts every single day. And the red t-shirt kids, they stick together with everything. They walk together, talk together, fight together, play sports together. The 20 red shirt kids are always together. And when they want something, they take it. There's 20 of them. Now, maybe you never had any interest in getting tribal with a group of friends, but how long do you think it would take in that situation before you started to look around and think to yourself, well, I either need to put on a red shirt and join their tribe, or I need to start my own, because if I don't, I'm going to be stomped into out of existence. Again, that's how tribes work. That's how tribalism works. Tribalism begets more tribalism. Now, let's discuss communists, how they abuse that in the modern American left. And I'm just going to go ahead and spoil a portion of this. The modern American left of every color, white, black, of every color, the modern American left, they really genuinely believe in their bones that white people are evil and the problem. And they really genuinely believe it in their bones that this country should be torn apart, ripped away from white people, and handed to others. How did they get there and why did they get there? We're about to walk through all that. Like I said, it's going to be a long, heavy talk on possibly a long, heavy show. I don't know. We'll lighten it up in a little bit. Let's continue on this next.
Missed out? Catch up. JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. Reminding you, you can email the show, and you should email the show, Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. We are having a long talk in a very roundabout way about American communism and the left and tribalism as it pertains to the Afrikaners, and why you've heard the reaction you've seen in the last 24 hours. It's almost over the top. It doesn't even make sense.
You know, I think it's important for us to understand that the Trump administration is a lot of things, but one thing it certainly is a white nationalist project. And oftentimes we don't want to describe it as such. I'm not reducing it to it, because there's greed, there's graft, there's all sorts of things happening around it. But we need to understand the...
Yeah, okay. So I need you to walk with me through two different paths, and the two different paths are going to converge in a moment. Okay, so you have to stay with me here. Let's walk down the first path, and let's discuss America's founding, the founding of Western civilization, if you will. Let's just talk about this. What happened here? What happened in the United States of America? How did we become this country? A bunch of white Christian Europeans sailed across the ocean blue, very brave, and they carved out a living in this country. But there were people already here. Indian tribes. All across the country, in the northeast, southeast, southwest, midwest, northwest, they were all over the place. There were Indian tribes everywhere. And so what happened from there over a long period of time was the Americans, because after, I mean, how long does it take to become an American, right? One generation. The Americans began to conquer the United States of America. It was a conquest. Don't kid yourself. It was a conquest. This is something both sides love to lie about. The American left likes to act like it was some sort of wholesale genocidal thing, which it was not. But the right also loves to act like, well, I mean, we talked to them about it and we all came to an agreement. No, we conquered them. Less technologically advanced tribal peoples get conquered by more technologically advanced peoples. This is the story of every plot of ground in the history of the world, from Australia to Africa to China to Japan to Russia to everywhere in Europe to the United States of America, Mexico, South America, Canada. If there's anywhere I forgot, sorry about that, but it is the story. It is the entire history of the world. Smaller, weaker peoples get conquered eventually by stronger peoples. The United States of America was conquered. Now, that, just hang on to that for a moment, because the two roads are about to converge. Now, I said we're going to travel down two different paths that are about to converge. The second path is this. Let's go to modern America in modern American politics. You see, communists do something, and they've always done this. This is not unique to America's communists. Communists will analyze completely dispassionately the demographics of wherever they're trying to conquer, and they will identify who is on their side and who is an enemy. And they do not approach this individually the way you probably do. I hope that's how you approach everything in your life. But communists don't think that way at all. The reason they don't think that way at all is because they're anti-humans. Remember, to a communist, everything's collective. Everything's about all of us. And the individual means nothing whatsoever. There is no individual soul. There's no God. This is how these people think. Well, when you think like that, remember, you have to try to think like them as best you can. When you think like that, that there is no individualism, that everything is just the collective, then it's very, very easy to dispassionately analyze a society. So I'll think about it this way. Let's say I want to run for class president, all right? Let's say I want to run for class president, and in this class are 1,000 students. Now, who's going to vote for me? Who's not going to vote for me? Let's assume this. Let's go out on a limb here. Let's assume that the Christians will vote for me, the Jews will vote for me, the Muslims will, the white people will, the Mexicans will, maybe the black people are going to be against me. Now, because I'm an evil communist, I don't worry about the individuals. Maybe there's a bunch of black people who are going to support me. I don't care. I don't think like that because I'm a communist. For me, I look at it dispassionately, and what do? Well, the white people, the Mexicans, the Christians, and the Jews, I need to make sure I talk to them and cater to them. But black people have to be smashed into existence because they are the ultimate threat to my political power. They are my enemy, so I must crush them, outnumber them, crush them, smite them in any way. That is identical to how the American communist, how the American Democrat, how they look at modern American politics. These people live and die for poll numbers and exit polls, and they'll pull this and they'll pull that, and they'll pull old people and middle age and young people and white and black and men and women and Christians and Jews. And they'll pull every daggone thing. And you know what they have come to? The conclusion they have come to? If white people either were not here or didn't vote, or in the very least outnumbered, they would rule with an iron fist over everything. Now, it doesn't matter whether they believe that, whether that's actually true or not. Just set that aside. So don't argue with it. That's what they believe. They believe that white people are the ultimate enemy, and that white people are what really stand in their way. This, combined with that other path. Remember I told you that other path was going to converge? You see, that other path gives them the ultimate justification for that, because they don't have to address it as if it's modern American politics. What they do is they simply act like there's a historic injustice here that must be rectified. I'll play that stupid hag on MSNBC again. Listen to what she says. Listen closely. Listen closely.
So the Trump administration, they're saying that essentially these white South Africans.
I completely played the absolutely wrong one. This is the one I was actually looking for.
What has happened in this strange, bizarre world we're living in is that the Afrikaners have become the darling of these right-wing white supremacist movements around the world. That it's like
the people who are native to that land deserve their rightful land back. That is not what.
I'll let her keep going. They deserve their rightful land back. Rightful land? The Afrikaners have been in South Africa for 400 years. So that doesn't make sense unless you understand the modern American left is using that history as justification for smashing their modern political opponents. I'll allow her to continue.
The Afrikaners actually want to have happen, which are the white Africans. And so who are not originally from Africa, who colonized South Africa also. And so that is what they are saying is discrimination. Now, if the Constitution in South Africa is
right there from the horse's mouth, that exact same thing is taking place in the United States of America right now. The two roads have converged. The history of our country has converged with modern American communism. Modern American communism has identified white people as being the ultimate stop to them, the ultimate enemy to them, and they've figured out they can use the history of this country to weaponize people, weaponize minds against white people. Yes, it manifests itself as open, naked, anti-white hatred, and we will definitely get into that. That's how it ultimately manifests itself. But keep in mind, in the end, this is all about power. This is all about money and power and revenge and all kinds of things. That's what this is about. I'm going to once again make this point, and you better get this point, no matter who you are, no matter what color you are. Hatred of white people is ingrained, cemented into the mind of the modern American leftist. They really genuinely believe in smashing white people and grabbing everything white people have and giving it away. Remember that. I'll try to finish this up in just a moment. Before I finish this up, let me talk to you about your retirement. Donald Trump is still talking about this agreement with China.
Over the weekend, we reached a breakthrough agreement with China. Both outstanding deals. China's agreed. We have to get it down. We have to get the little details down. And Scott, you're going to work on that very hard, but China's.
They're not little details, though. They're big details. China exists by making everything we buy. If we're going to change that, the world economy is going to fight back in about 90 days. Have you gotten a hold of Goldco yet? Have you taken care of your retirement yet? You can trust them. I've trusted them with my money. They have an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. Thousands of Americans. They've placed over $3 billion in gold and silver. They will handle your retirement. They will take care of it. 855-817-GOLD or go to jessielikesgold.com. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an amazing Tuesday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Back to our talk. Now, I just laid out why the modern American left really genuinely hates white people. And remember, in the end, this is not necessarily about white people for the elites. It's about money. It's about power. So the modern left that's freaking out about 60 Afrikaners coming here, they're the same people who stood up and cheered as loudly as humanly possible when Joe Biden announced that he's just going to... Well, this was 2021. Remember this?
We offered safe havens for those fleeing violence or persecution. And our example pushed other nations to open wide their doors as well. So today, I'm approving an executive order to begin the hard work of restoring our refugee admissions program to help meet the unprecedented global need. This executive order will position us to be able to raise the refugee admissions back up to 125,000 persons.
They used that executive order to bring in as many foreign barbarians as they possibly could. But compare that with the reaction from today.
What has happened in this strange, bizarre world we're living in is that the Afrikaners have become the darling of these right-wing white supremacist movements around the world. That it's like the lost cause for them. It's like the old Confederacy. They're held up as these white Christians who are being dispossessed of their land. It's like...
Why the difference? Headline, Episcopal Church ends refugee program with the U.S. government and cites Afrikaners' arrival as the last straw. The Episcopal Church, you know, the Church of Satan, they've been funding refugees, helping refugees, as long as they're not white. Trump brought in 60 Afrikaners, and the Episcopal Church was so mortified by it, they just simply stopped. Hey, we're out. Hey, we're out. We're not helping white people. What has happened is the modern American left, they've found their enemy. They have found their mortal enemy. And maybe my final point on this is this. You need to be very, very careful with your child in history class. Allow me to say that again. You need to be very, very careful with your child in history class, because the communist is not stupid, and taking over history departments and schools has been one of the most critical things they've ever done. If you want to create a leftist, you don't necessarily have to teach them to vote for Kamala Harris. You get them when they're young and you teach them that America is an evil, colonizing, genocidal, racist place, and these evil white Europeans got here and slaughtered a bunch of people, and one day they'll get what's coming to them. You teach them the exact same thing about Europe. This is what the left is teaching German students in Germany. It's what the left is teaching UK students in the UK. This is what they've done. You teach people your history is hot, stinky garbage, that you're invaders, that you're colonizers, that you're not native, which that in and of itself is beyond hilarious. Not native. Who's native? Nobody's native now. Don't sell me on your nativity. I was born here as native as anybody else here, not more native than I was. But this is sold as white people are evil. And the reason there are two different reactions when Joe Biden brings in 20 million barbarians from everywhere versus 60 Afrikaners is the modern American left genuinely believes America should be ripped from the hands of white people. White people should be smited and smashed and pummeled, and that's what they deserve for the historical sins that were committed hundreds of years ago. You can say that's crazy. You can say that's illogical, but let me pause on that. Let me stop you with that way of thinking. That's crazy. That's illogical. I don't understand why they think like this.
I would say our country should be more fearful of white men across our country because...
You're trying to bring logic to people who are so programmable, they will tell you till they're blue in the face that a human being can change their gender. Human beings, many of them, not you, but many of them are programmable with virtually anything. Anything with enough social conditioning, enough peer pressure, social conditioning, guidance from mentors, the human mind can believe the most ridiculous, insane things in the world. And I want to stress that this is not unique to, don't think for a second that this is just black leftists in the country. White leftists in America feel this exact same way. What, Jesse, that's suicidal. Don't they realize they're working against themselves? Don't you realize that communism is a suicidal death cult? These people will destroy their own country and they will feel like the good guys when they do it. I woke up this morning to a video. I think it was Savannah Hernandez put up this video. There was a van with a bunch of gang members inside of it who were about to be deported. And there was an old white leftist woman blowing them kisses and waving goodbye. Do not take your logic and do not take your morality and project it onto the modern leftist. To the modern leftist, Western civilization is genocidal, racist, and evil, and white people deserve what's coming to them. That's how they think. That's how they act, and they will openly put these policies into place. And my final point on this is only this. Remember when Joe Biden took over, one of the first things he did, one of the most racist things an American president has ever done, ever. Joe Biden took all that PPP money and made a public announcement that white people were getting moved to the back of the line. And I'm friends with bankers, and they told me it happened. They implemented it. If you were white, sorry, no money for you. Go away. This is for others. This is how the left thinks. When they see 60 Afrikaners coming into the country, they see 60 enemies who deserve to be destroyed. That's what we're up against. All right? All right. Let's get out of here. Let's talk a little bit about Trump, Saudi Arabia, and maybe one more quick word on this and other things. Let me tell you about Hillsdale College. Would you like to know more about history? Do you enjoy history? Our history, world history, Roman history, the Constitution. Would you like to know more? Hillsdale will teach us all at no cost. They will teach you at no cost. Got a road trip planned? Got 4, 5, 6 hours in the car coming? Why don't you go download Understanding Capitalism from Hillsdale? Or The Rise and Fall of the Roman Republic? Talk about getting smarter on your trip. It's interesting, and you will know so much more when you get there. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse is where you go to enroll. No cost. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse. We'll be back.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.